Hello and welcome to episode number 29 of Light the Eye, presented by the U of I Credit Union. I'm Scott Beatty.
And I'm Robert Rosenthal, and I need to know about your hat.
I'm wearing this hat, and I'm frumpy about it.
Yeah?
Because it's in the 20s.
Yes.
Outside here in Champaign.
Snow flurries in the air as I walked in.
And the real feel is -3 degrees, and it is March 16th.
Well, where are the Ides of March yesterday? I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't
the have Ides much, were yesterday.
I don't have much to
I'm just you. Mostly thought we could kind of be done with this.
Then you, sir, have not understood Central Illinois weather for the last 600 million years.
Well,
of course, 600 million years ago, maybe that was Ice Age.
It was. Yes. Hats were required anyway.
Yes.
I just feel
welcome
like...
Welcome to the Ice Age episode
We're almost into spring.
Yes.
March Madness is here.
I put fertilizer down on the lawn last week thinking it was time to get it ready to go and pop, and now it's white.
And it actually would not be that bad, except the wind is going approximately 700 miles an hour.
Yes. Well, at least we're not in the UP of Michigan. My wife and I were there last summer, and I looked for the forecast at the state park where we camped over the summer. And their forecast for these last 3 days was 30 to 36 inches of snow.
I can handle snow more than I can handle just bitter cold.
Yes, yes.
Anyway, on to happier things. Illinois basketball in the Big Ten tournament this past... Oh.
Nope. Not happy.
Oh.
I'm being handed a note here. Yeah.
Oop,
nope,
I'm
sorry.
I'm told it was not very happy.
Sorry. Went
However,
home before the sun went down Friday.
It's a new postseason. And it's here, and Illinois men are a 3 seed in the bracket, and the women are a 7 seed in the bracket. They're both headed to the NCAA tournaments this weekend. So we're going to break it down on the crazy Monday after Sunday selection. But before we do that, thank you to the Center for Innovation in Teaching and Learning here on the campus of the University of Illinois and inside the Armory. Thanks to our producer today, Sean Mills. And if you would, take a moment, please like and subscribe. If you have any comments during the episode, you can drop them down below, or you can always email us, lighttheeyepodcast@gmail.com. All right. Robert, without further ado, it's time to...
It is that time to light the eye.
All right. Hey, the eye is orange.
Oh, yes. And what did we say this was? I can fix that.
Okay. Blue March or
it's,
something?
Blue Eye March. Don't it make your
orange eye blue?
Orange eye blue, yes. Thank you for...
Thank you, Crystal.
Let's go. Is that Crystal Gale?
Crystal Gale,
is that
yeah.
the one with the long hair went down to the floor? Is that the one? Is she the woman with the long hair that like was floor length? I think so.
Could
We're
going to
look that up. We're going to do some research later. Is that blue enough? It's not navy enough. Let's try. There we go. That's there. Blue Eye March.
Yeah, you made a commitment to Blue Eye March.
Yes, Blue Eye March is back. I think that just shows that I've fixed the eye, and now we can get to orange again.
Oh, you were showing off.
We need one of those. You could make it orange,
but you don't want it to.
We should do the soundboard so I can hit the applause thing right there. I guess
yeah.
I can add it in post. The eye is fixed. It goes to orange again. But... Blue Eye March, 16 days in, St. Patrick. Maybe we should do green for tomorrow.
Oh, that's not a bad idea.
Hold on. We could do
and the Marching Illini. The Marching Illini is currently in Dublin.
There we go.
In Ireland, getting ready for the St. Patrick's Day parade.
This time on a very special episode of Light the Eye. Sean, go to the wide shot. Show everybody that we now have a green eye.
I think we're recording tomorrow on St. Patrick's Day, so we could save it for tomorrow.
Okay, that's good. That's good. We'll go back to don't it make your...
Orange eye.
Orange
See,
eye.
Can you
blue.
Commit to something? Oh, it's orange. Oh, now it's purple.
Oh, it is. That is pretty purple. This wheel is kind of
indigo?
Fun here.
Lavender. I think it was more of a lavender, to be precise.
Yes, I need the Pantone for Illini Blue.
We've got two basketball teams that are going to begin postseason play. The men on Thursday, 8:25 Central, against Penn as the 3 seed. They'll be in Greenville for the first round. The women will play Saturday night at 8:30 against Colorado. It's a 7 seed for the Illini versus the 10 seed. That's the highest seed under the Shauna Green era. Compare and contrast two programs right now. The Illini women are a 7 seed, and we'll break this down a little bit more, but everyone's pretty happy with that, especially for where this yep. team is young. And when you look at the broader history of the women's program, for the men, they're a 3 seed, and you got to be careful where you go to get the temperature of a fan base. But I think on average, there is a meh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. It's funny how the women's, like a month ago, we were talking about this. And we were talking, can the women get over the bubble? Is that loss at Oregon really going to hurt them? You know, all those kind of things of like, do they have the resume? If they do get in, can they avoid that play-in game? And then we started talking about, like, can they avoid the 8-9 game? You'd have to go to a 1 seed at their place and try to beat them in the round of 32. And here they climb all the way to a 7 and maybe have the easiest of the 2 seeds as their opponent. And it's not too far from Champaign. Contrast that to 20-3 Illinois basketball that had beaten 2 top 5 teams on the road and were undefeated on the road in the Big Ten at that time, and rolling toward, look, 2 seed seems certain. St. Louis is locked up, and you know, heck, if they were go on a roll and do this as a 1 seed on the table and all that talk, and now here we are, you know, St. Louis lost, dropped to a 3 seed. It's kind of opposite trajectories as they enter the tournament.
Last night, we're recording this on Monday. Last night, you were on WGN-TV in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
Nice of them to ask you.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it was fun.
Yes. No, it was great. I'm glad you were on. So they asked you, first thing you said, well, it's a disappointment because I wanted them to be in St. Louis.
Oh, yeah. That's a Chicago station. I didn't think about that. That's a great point. That's a great point.
I know, like, pretty much the arc of the discussion for you has been, can they be in St. Louis?
Should please? I snuck in a snuck in a go cards or something? On
no,
yes, probably not.
But they're not going to be in a regional region
yes.
anymore.
Yes,
the path will be Greenville for the first weekend, and hopefully Houston for the second weekend, and then Indianapolis should they be so fortunate to make it to the Final Four.
Yep.
But 2 years ago, you were a 3 seed, and there was jubilation across the land, and you ended up making an Elite Eight, mm-hmm. and many felt that Illinois could have been a Final Four team that year, but for the draw against UConn.
Mm-hmm.
This year, well, do you want to get ahead of ourselves?
Or let's
do you
get just ahead want, of ourselves. You want, let's you know, start at the end. Yeah,
yeah, the end is get through probably a 1 seed.
Yep.
First, you would have to get through a 2 seed.
Yeah. I mean, it sets up as almost, look, I live in narrative land, right? It sets up in all of these potential revenge kind of things.
Let's take a special trip to narrative land.
Here in narrative land, Illinois starts with Fran McCaffrey, of all people. You know, Fran's last game at Iowa, famously is ejected, and it's the perfect, you know, way
against Illinois.
Against Illinois in the Big Ten tournament. You know, what a way for him to go out. And then he takes Penn job, and here he is the next year against Illinois. You know, the Crush can go find their FranCon levels of their chart and get it out for this game. But you have Fran in the first round. Then you have potentially the team that stopped Illinois from getting their first title in 2005 in the second round. Third round is Kelvin
I hear Sean
Sampson.
May is going to suit up for that game, by the way. One more year of eligibility.
It just needs to not be the same officials. But third round, you have potential Kelvin Sampson, who is both the villain in 2008 when he flipped Eric Gordon with some interesting recruiting tactics, and also the villain of...
Which probably would not ruffle anyone's feathers these days.
Yes, yes, it is a different world.
Those recruiting tactics.
Yes. And so So, yeah, so you have Kelvin Sampson. Then you could potentially have Florida in the Elite Eight. And if it were Florida, remember 2000? Yes, 2000. Lon Kruger's final season. Illinois had a pretty good team. 4 seed, lost to 5 seed Florida. Florida then went on to the national title game that year where they lost to Michigan State. Let's see. Who can we revenge?
Didn't Illinois secret scrimmage with them, too?
That's a good point. Yes, and all the fans, you know, making up fake box scores and everything else. Those fans with their fake box scores could actually debate what really happened in the secret scrimmage back in October.
You know what? Let's forget that secret scrimmage. Let's settle it for real once and for all in an Elite Eight game.
Yes, that's right. And then let's see, who could we in the? It would be UConn. You could play UConn in the Final Four. You get revenge for 2024.
If it goes chalk, wouldn't you get Duke?
No, I'm trying to set up the revenge tour here, the narrative tour.
So UConn beating Duke?
Yes, yes.
Or Duke getting eliminated somewhere?
Sure, and then you get UConn in the Final Four, and you get revenge for the 30-0 run.
Gotcha.
Then you get to the final, and who you get there? You get Michigan, the team that knocked out Illinois in 89. So you avenge 89, 05, 2000,
24.
2024. We can't get Loyola in there for 2021. But then also Kelvin Sampson for all of his stuff and Fran for just being Fran.
I have exercised the demons.
Yes. You heard it here first, folks. The revenge tour of all revenge tours to get the first national title in Champaign.
Well, you didn't get your first narrative of St. Louis to Chicago to Indianapolis. And
yeah, the reverse path.
And you would have made a graphic of a bus taking taking an arch.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes.
You know,
the bus that like moves up the line but isn't like pointed down the road. It's just like
it's moving
Price
in
is
the
right kind
it's
of
moving
a graphic.
It, yes, it's yep. moving in the
yes, yes.
Price is right crap. Yes. Moving in the path of an arch.
Yes, that's right. That's right. That's how it's gonna. Well,
this would be
if
some,
that's gone, this is the new one.
That's a little bit of a consolation, right? Well, we didn't go to St. Louis, but yes. I did win a national championship. And had revenge on all my enemies.
I mean, look, if you're good, what are we talking about?
You're like Steve Martin in that skit. But if I had only two wishes, the first would be for St. Louis, but the second would be revenge on all my enemies.
That's pretty much how I live my life. The fascinating thing about the draw is that there's...
I've had numerous people tell me, I'm like, wow, Robert's just fascinating. Mm-hmm. They're listening for you.
Mm-hmm. No, you're fascinating too, Scott. You reach over like...
I'm but a vessel.
Yes, yes. The fascinating thing about this draw is that we've talked about how there's three great teams, right? There is, you know, you look at KenPom, you look at everything else, all this season, there are three teams just a tier above everybody else. We talked about this after the Michigan loss, that Arizona, Michigan, and Duke have played an exceptional level of basketball. Everybody else has these little flaws here and there. All good teams, obviously, but just a step below that, that's the top tier. So getting placed in the region with Florida is probably a good thing. You know, look, Illinois played UConn and lost to them this year. So, like, you know, that there's other ways this could have gone of, like, UConn's the one seed and then that's kind of thing. Florida is the team you possibly or maybe did not beat in the secret scrimmage. Like, there is this, hey, you know, this is really accessible. You've got a North Carolina team that has to beat VCU, but they lost their leading scorer. They lost their Keaton Wagler for the season. So they've put up a pretty good record, but now they don't have their best player. So there is this level of, like, hey, this is a, you know, Houston obviously really rough, but... You know, if you got to play a 2 seed, that's okay. You can handle that. Probably rather have Houston than UConn because we don't obviously don't match up well with UConn. And then if you got to beat a 1 seed, you're going to beat a 1 seed. Well, maybe Florida's the easiest 1 seed to beat. So maybe there's this thing of, yeah, you miss St. Louis, but there are winnable games here. There is the opportunity to make a run.
Yeah, and it starts with Penn. There is a lot of presumption that you'll get through the first round, and then if it goes chalk, face North Carolina. I haven't done a deep dive on them other than they're not the blue chip that they used to be. They still obviously have a huge following, but they're not the strength that they used to be. But nobody in a six seed is a pushover.
Mm-hmm.
But it's
and
very,
you're playing them in Carolina, South Carolina, not North Carolina. But you're at least, you know, there's a lot of fans in Charlotte that'll make that drive.
Yes. Yeah. No, there's going to be probably more Carolina blue there than there will Illini orange. But yeah. You'd be surprised at the number of folks that can get to Greenville. And by the way, I've now made three trips to Greenville, at least, maybe four with Illinois baseball.
And you were just there, what, 2 weeks ago?
Three or four. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's all kind of blurred together.
Sure.
It's a great town.
Mm-hmm.
The downtown area is great. You are not going to go wrong. It is just restaurant, bar, boutique, one after the other, hotels. There's a great a falls over. It's the creek, the Reedy Creek. There's the bridge, the beautiful bridge over it. You can take the Swamp Rabbit Trail for several miles in either direction. Connects you to a bunch of parks and can end up at the zoo. It's a well done town. It's grown a lot, so there's a bit of traffic, I think, around the area now. Mm-hmm. But one of my favorite places to go visit, and it's kind of its own little subculture within South Carolina.
I had to look up who the host, you know, there's always a host, and Furman is the host.
Home of the Paladins.
Yes.
They are a 15 seed, I believe, this year.
Mm-hmm.
Furman
mm-hmm.
Paladins, who are located in Greenville.
Furman, is that where Justin Stepp, the wide receiver coach, didn't he play at Furman? Going to look that up right now while you talk about something else. I got to see.
No, I'm just going to let you look this up because.
Just let him float out there, folks. Yes, Justin Stepp did this from there, played college at.
Here's the question. In post, is this supposed to be in the podcast? Do you feel this is compelling content? You looking up something live?
Can you feel the people like driving to work tomorrow morning, sitting in traffic, leaning forward like, where did he play?
This only increases the listen through rate.
Stepp starred at Pelion High School, helping the Panthers an unbeaten season in 2000 before coming to standout wide receiver and punt returner at Furman in 2003.
You are correct, sir.
Okay. We have closed the loop on all Paladins. Firm is hosting the site. Greenville is the town. Isn't Wofford there as well? Where's Wofford?
Wofford is in South Carolina, but I don't remember exactly where it
Maybe
is.
Maybe that's in Spartanburg, right by.
See, these are mysteries
mm-hmm.
that.
This is great, unresearched. Just, Robert, open your mouth and talk about things on a podcast. Just say it out loud, and then
it is in Spartanburg.
It is. See, look at that. Big time rivals, Wofford and Furman.
Speaking of secrets, we talked about the secret scrimmage or referenced it. There was a players only meeting we learned yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Presumably a secret players only meeting mm-hmm. hosted by Kylan Boswell. I don't know if he facilitated it, but he hosted it. And why not just sit and speculate about a players-only meeting that nobody could attend or know anything about?
I am a sucker for narratives, so I am a huge sucker for the... Look, you know, when you write like me, you're looking for that angle of like... And then, after four overtime losses, there was a players-only meeting where they sorted some things out of what was going wrong at the end of close games. And then, as you saw in the tournament in that Final Four run, they won the close games instead of losing them, and all pointed back to that moment where Tommy stood up at the meeting and I don't
Okay,
know.
But two of these close meetings, timeout.
Yes.
Two of these close losses didn't need to be close losses.
Three of them didn't.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, UCLA was 12 points. This game was 2 15-point leads. And the other Wisconsin loss was 12-point lead. So
wait, wasn't there a 23-point lead in there?
Yeah, UCLA was 23.
You said 12.
Yes. Oh, okay. UCLA 23, 15 the first time, or 12 the first time against Wisconsin. Michigan State was a little closer, but it only still had like a 5-point lead with 3 minutes left. Something
yeah, that's
like that.
Not blowing, though. That's
yes, yes.
That's not.
Yes. Here's the fun stat I looked up the other day. You ready for this? You ready for me to just throw something out that's wild?
I've never heard you do that before.
Yes.
Certainly not on a podcast in real time.
So there are basically, if you know, KenPom has those charts of like the win probability. You'll see it. ESPN has one as well. The line that goes up and down above and below 50%. Yeah. And when there's some big comeback, you'll see the line all the way to the bottom. And then it spikes all the way to the top as some team scored 7 points in the final minute or whatever. So KenPom keeps track of what was the lowest for the team that won, what was their lowest win probability in that game, and yet they still came back and won. And for these four overtime losses, again, they're not just the overtime losses. They are leads blown and gone to overtime. The lowest, I'll flip it and say the Illinois win probability at these moments. Illinois had an 81.8% win probability with 3 minutes left in the Michigan State game and lost in overtime. And then the other three games that we just talked about, UCLA and the two Wisconsin games, 98.4%, 97.8%, and 98.0%. So basically, Wisconsin there two times had a 2% chance. They got to where they were a 2% chance to win that game, and they came back and won that game. The odds, I took it to, I'm like, hey, I'm not really good at math here, so can somebody put this into math terms?
Well, that means if you played it 100 times,
mm-hmm.
two times Wisconsin would win it.
The number here that I got to is rounded to the nearest. So the odds of Illinois losing all four of these games when they had those leads, the chances of that, just add those together. 1 in 780,470. 1 in 780,000 times. Does Illinois or does a team have those kind of leads and blow all four leads?
Okay. But once it's no longer a lead,
yes,
then it's a close game.
Sure.
And then the odds are different.
Mm-hmm. But the issue, the point is, once you get to a 15-point lead with 11 minutes left,
yeah,
teams win those games 98% of the time, yeah, and lose those games 2% of the time.
So is the issue holding the leads, or is it really close games? Because we did a whole thing on close games and unlucky,
mm-hmm.
and I can see it now. Mm-hmm. There's going to be a lead, and there's going to be a lot of fingernail chewing.
Yes.
Even if it's a, quote, comfortable lead.
As I said then, the fascinating thing about all of this to me is that Luke Altmaier was that guy. And Illinois went 9-1 in close games the last two seasons. Because you had a quarterback in a final drive that was just like, guys, it's fine. Everybody chill. I mean, I was talking to this with some friends after the game on Friday. The first bowl game, if you remember, going down to that final fourth down, Illinois is trying to kneel it out, but there's a little more time on the clock than the play clock. And the sideline was scrambling, and Coach Bielma even brought this up later, that Luke was like waving to them, like, guy, they were talking his ear, you know, they have the mics, and he's like, guys, I know what I'm doing. Like, everybody chill. I'm going to take a step. I'm going to snap it with 1 second left. I'm going to take a few steps back. I'm going to let that run out. I'm going to take the knee. We're good. Like, I've thought this through. We're fine. We're, you know, nobody, he was in no panic. And I think that's, you know, yes, there's luck, and yes, there's, you know, should you be 9-1 in one score games, or should it be more like 5-5? Are you lucky if you got to 9-1? And people will always say, yeah, those balances out. The Chiefs went 15-0 in one score games, and then they went 1-11. Blah, blah, blah. It goes up, it goes down. But when you have that one guy who's just calm, the Tom Brady, if you will, you do tend to win more one score games than you don't. And for whatever reason, this Illinois team in basketball is the inverse of that. There is no IO, let's just call it out. You know, there is no guy that's been known for being the guy who solves it in the end of games. And that's been the issue of closing out these overtime games, or even winning in overtime. There's just not that takeover guy.
Yeah, and I don't know why that's missing either. It could only... Well, maybe that was discussed in the players-only meeting.
Sure.
Is there somebody that wants to be that guy but is not stepping up to it? Is there somebody that gets too tight in that situation? Is it just the randomness of the game? But also, What happens when you get a 15-point lead in the second half? How do you not just suddenly go cold? How do you not suddenly let the other team? And the, I mean, Wisconsin is not, there should be some credit to them. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're not who they are by happenstance. They just got extremely lucky.
Mm-hmm.
They had something to do with the comeback, but
yep.
It was interesting, the post game after the Big Ten tournament, Brad Underwood was asked again about losing in close games, and it was a follow-up to a reporter's question from the first time in which she kind of shut that question down, and this time around he said, I'm just not interested in narratives.
Mm-hmm.
He's not going to take a vacation to Robert's narrative land.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I'm interested in solving problems.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not sure how to boil that down other than it's not, hey, guys, work tight and close games and, wow, what are we going to – boy, I just don't know, and we're unlucky. It's, no, why are we not defending in this time and this time? And there's probably a little more X's and O's to break down.
Yep, yep. And I mean, the biggest issue is not just, oh, it's a back-and-forth game, it's close, and they can't find the single play. It's – get up by 10, get up by 12, get up by 15. What was Underwood's quote after the game? That, like, when things are going well on the offensive end, I don't think we focus on the defensive end or something like that. Of like, yeah. We lose our focus of like, oh, well, we'll just go rep it down and score again and everything will be fine. And then when you're not scoring, that's all, it's a little more difficult to hold off the other team. So, yeah, I mean, look, if we're talking narrative land here, after the first Wisconsin game, there was a lot of talk of like, look, no Boswell, no Stojakovic. If you had Boswell, he probably shuts down Nick Boyd, and Wisconsin doesn't come anywhere close to a comeback. Well, then we get an example of Wisconsin down two players. They were out Winter and Janicki, and Illinois at full strength, and what happened? An even deeper comeback from 15 points. So, yeah, that gets tossed out the window, and it becomes, heck, time for a player meeting, right? Like, that's where it's at of, hey, you know, there were reasons in this of why things have gone poorly and four overtime losses, and you would hope that they would in this. And then you look at it all collectively and say, no lead is safe. You know, it just has reached that. If Illinois on Thursday is up 14 against Penn with 7 minutes to go, there's not one single Illinois fan that's going to be confident. It's going to be like, don't do it again. I can't handle it again.
Don't you dare.
Don't you dare go through this. I do not have it in me to go
you
through another
one. Already been a one and done in a postseason tournament when I specifically asked you not to.
Great quote. That's maybe my favorite office quote. You cheated on me when I specifically asked you not to?
I specifically asked you guys to go to at least the second weekend.
Yes. Now, again, the flip side of this, let's just talk about it real quick. The flip side of this is that Vegas is going to love Illinois because bettors love teams that lost four close games. And bettors hate teams that are like, they got blown out seven times, guys. Another blowout is coming. That's not a good team. A team that's very, very, very close, a free throw in each game away from being, what, 28-4 or whatever. A team that's that close to that kind of record, bettors are going to love that. It's like, okay, well, they're, you know, if they're only losing in overtime each time, then yeah, I'm investing in this team because that's the kind of team. The team that's winning by one and losing by 34, that's the team to really question in the tournament. So they're going to be a popular pick.
Yeah, I've seen the percentages, and Illinois has a decent probability, probably of the best probability of any three seed,
yep,
of finding its way into a Final Four. I don't gamble.
I know.
So I don't really care what the bettors think. But
yep.
I got, it
it's
is,
so hard.
I guess I would say just if you are filling out brackets from a neutral standpoint and you want to have that bracket that's different, you want to see where you could take your chances,
yep,
you could hitch your wagons to Illinois. They have the capability.
Yeah,
they have the capability, but I do agree the three out of those 4-1 seeds are, it's going to be tough to not pick them through.
Yes, yes. I feel like a lot of people are going to take those three teams and then pick somebody else from Florida's bracket.
Yeah.
You know, it just feels like that's the way this is going to go from the
There South. Is also a lot of people, and Illinois is in this the region with Houston. It's like, when is Houston going to get it?
Mm-hmm.
How many years can you be this really good?
Mm-hmm.
How many years can you be the bridesmaid, not the bride?
There are two teams that have been to five or more, no, three teams that have been to five or more Final Fours without a title. Houston has seven without a title. Illinois has five without a title, and Oklahoma has five without a title. And two of those best to never win at all could match up in the Sweet 16.
Pretty fascinating stuff. Any other residue there from the Big Ten tournament?
Didn't happen. I erased it from my memory. Was an idiot and prepaid for my hotel room. What kind of idiot prepays for his hotel room? I did it to save like $70.
Who makes impulsive decisions without thinking things through?
Yep. So I had a hotel room through the weekend. Such confidence young Robert had when he made that decision to get his hotel room through the weekend without an option to cancel any of the nights. And yeah. That was not a fun trip to Chicago whatsoever.
When we come back, well, we will look at the women's picture, and then you always talk about being one of the 17, but we will talk for a moment about one of the 10. Tell you what that means. And you're not going to Greenville.
Yes, we can get
Why not?
That. Well,
that
we'll
is
talk
fascinating.
About after the show.
Yeah, we'll do that. After this, light the eye. This episode of Light the Eye is brought to you in part by Logic Coworking. Located in Champaign at the corner of St. Mary's and Neal, Logic Coworking offers a great space for you to have some productive time. Whether you need a remote office, a remote cubicle, a place for a one-off project to get done, maybe a conference room space that you need for you and some colleagues, or there's an event space if you're having something larger. Students, great place to study. Whatever your needs are, there's fast Wi-Fi internet available, free printing. There's even a kitchen and a very friendly staff. Emily Atkins runs Logic. And yes, that's the Atkins you know about if you're connected to Illinois athletics. Students get a discount if you want to show up for a day just for a place to study. And if you're just coming through Champaign, maybe for a game or a visit, and you need a place for a few hours, they offer you day passes. But there is also monthly memberships. Logic Coworking is adjacent to the Bake Lab if you need some coffee or a pastry, and Napoli's Italian Restaurant, and not far from any of the Illinois athletic venues. So, check out Logic Coworking again at the corner of St. Mary's and Neal in Champaign. Welcome back on Light the Eye and Illinois Women. The 7 seed in hoops. They will play Saturday night against the Colorado Buffaloes. And should they be able to... Can you buffalo a buffalo?
Yeah.
Is that, would that be a positive thing?
What does one do to a buffalo?
Well, I know buffalo can be a verb. You know the sentence, buffalo, buffalo,
oh,
buffalo.
Right. Yes.
You know, is...
Sure.
Anyway, if they get past the herd of buffalo from Boulder, they would likely take on the number 2-seeded Vanderbilt Commodores, who are the hosts there in Nashville. Nashville, has it been kind to Illinois this year?
I mean, it's been kind to football. It's been kind to men's basketball. Isn't it time that it's kind to women's basketball? Look, I did a little article on the site where I have Derek Neal, who's a former SID. He works somewhere else now, and he wrote an article, and I asked him questions because he really follows women's hoops closely. He's really into women's bracketology. So I said, at the end of the article, hey, list for me, this was on Thursday, list for me if Illinois does get that 7 seed, and it was looking like an 8 seed, so you get stuck with a 1 in the second round. If Illinois does clear the bar and get to the 7 seed, give me a 2 seed you would want to match up against. Like, you've studied this, you've looked at everybody's resume, and he said without hesitation, give me Vanderbilt as the 2 seed. Like, the ideal thing for him on Sunday, if he saw it, was Illinois is a 7 and Vandy is the 2. And sure enough, it happened. So it's a good draw. It's probably the most gettable game for Illinois. You know, look, you got to go on the road and play a protected seed and do it on their court if you want to get to the Sweet 16. And here it's Vanderbilt. So obviously get past Colorado first, but then maybe it's the matchup they were looking for and maybe they can continue the Nashville greatness.
To get to the Sweet 16 would be monumental for a program that hasn't done it in more than a quarter century, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the narrative right now, at least at selection show presentation last night, was we like that we're here. We like that this is now a regular habit of being in the NCAA tournament. And this is the highest seed that they've attained under Shauna Green, but we want to host.
It's funny that you mentioned the selection show. They had allowed people to be there at State Farm Center. What happens 10 minutes after the selection?
Tornado warning.
The tornado sirens go off. There's a tornado south of town on radar, and so everybody had to go down, you know, into the lower regions of the big concrete bowl and continue the celebration down there.
I realize that's the smart and safe thing to do, but I also feel like if a tornado came through, the large concrete structure is probably going
to
hold.
Yes. The engineering feat to put a concrete bowl on top of a concrete bowl and fuse them together.
Without what, levers?
Yes. Might be the single safest place to be in a tornado and like the heaviest building possible.
Okay. We are not saying you should not seek the lowest safe shelter in a building that you should. In no way am I a structural engineer. I was just pointing out it's a big concrete building. Okay, thank you.
Did you get a text from our attorney there?
Yeah, like, yeah. Hey,
stop it, stop it. Disclaim that.
Been meaning to ask you, by the way, do we have an attorney?
Oh, yeah.
All right, anyway, what were we saying? Yes.
Something about concrete bowls and
tornado
warnings.
They would love
warnings
to host, if for no other reason, that come tournament time and there was a tornado, they would be in a safe place.
Yes, an incredibly, incredibly
also,
safe place.
Also, I'm guessing, I don't know what the numbers are. I feel like it's three quarters at least. Baseball, softball, volleyball, women's basketball, these are all the major team sports that host if you're a protected seed.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm guessing at least three quarters of those advance. Now, chicken or egg, you host because you're a good team, right?
Yes, yes.
However, the home field advantage is probably in basketball, again, I'm guessing, could you quantify it to a half dozen points or something?
Yeah, I'm sure. And I mean, I think
10
Vegas
points?
Said it's 3 to 4 points, so like for just straight up, what's the advantage of shooting on your home court? But, I mean, let's talk home courts here. Vandy's home court is like the most unique shooting background. I mean, maybe Williams Arena is somewhat similar to it, but, you know, benches
yeah,
on the
boxy
end and raised floor, and like the dimensions of the fans behind are different than any other arena. So
the dimensions of the actual fans?
Yes, the dimensions of the fans. You know, those Nashvillians, they love their grits.
They're just proportioned differently.
Yes, the dimension of the seats behind the baskets are so far, and that the slope is so different that they say it's a different place to like get a feel for shooting. We've seen, you know, big time teams on the men's side go into there and just struggle shooting just because it's a different kind of feel when you have a raised floor like that.
Yeah, and Vanderbilt's put resources into their teams again, and
mm-hmm.
Both basketballs are different, and obviously football has had a resurgence. So,
yep.
But yeah, maybe they break through for the Sweet 16 for the first time in forever, but certainly it's an applaudable year, especially with the collective youth and really not playing with a true five this year. I mean, CC Ciara Parchment is really more of a four, and if you could put her as a four and Barry Wallace as a three, and you had a healthy Gretchen Dolan, and Destiny Jackson now takes that next step as a sophomore.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there is no reason not to have high expectations for the team next year.
Yeah, I mean,
but I don't want it to paint the picture here of like, well, good for you. You just got in the tournament, so whatever. It's gravy from here. I mean, mm-hmm. you think they have a solid chance.
Seven seeds are the teams that run 25 through 28. So this is, you know, establishes that this was, yes, really maybe a top 25, like edge of the top 25 team. Get everybody back, and yeah, next year could be special. But yeah, hey, why not? Why not do the Nashville triple? A win over Tennessee in Nashville for basketball, a win over Tennessee in Nashville for football, and a win over Vanderbilt in Nashville for women's basketball. That would be incredible.
I want to take just a quick moment, because you might forget that baseball is happening. It gets a little overshadowed this time, but just wanted to shout out the pitching over the weekend. Illinois took 2 out of 3 from Minnesota, won their first two Big Ten games.
And the loss was what, 1-0?
1-0. Three earned runs given up on the weekend. Four total runs. And unfortunately, the 1-0 loss, it was an unearned run that was given up. But I did some quick number crunching, and as best I can tell, the team ERA, which is just a bit over 4, is at its lowest point through 18 games since 2019. So shout out to pitching coach Dylan Napoleon and what he's done, because he's got a bunch of arms that are bought in collectively, and there's some arms. I mean, Reagan Hall is your ace starter, okay? But there's other guys. Well, you might start. You might do long relief and get the win. Reed Gannon got a win in extra innings on Friday, but was the closer on Sunday and got a save. And Saturday game two was a doubleheader. But it's just a little bit different right now. I've been in this mode of, wow, scored 8 runs. How do you, that should be enough to win a game.
Yeah.
It's been flipped a little bit because the bats have been cooler. They've faced some really good pitching. And it's, wow, you held him to 1 or 2 or 3 runs. That should win you the game.
Yeah,
and it has in some circles. I would rather be in the place of pitching and defense are there, and because bats can come and go, and there's sort of this baseline of fielding and pitching. So shout out to Illinois baseball.
What was the situation? I saw the tweet on Saturday, game one, the lost 1-0. Left the bases loaded in the 8th.
I think that's right.
So what do you remember what it was of, like?
A pop-up, I believe.
A pop-up?
Yeah.
So it was just loaded the base with 2 outs and then...
Oh, how it got loaded?
Yeah.
Want me to get my scorebook out?
No.
I mean, it's right here.
If you want to, we can do it.
Well, I'm just saying, now we're going to do this thing where we're going to have to pause.
No, I like it. I mean, look, if we were talking Illini golf here, I'd be asking you questions. You know, I'd be wanting you to ask me questions of, like, okay, the final 3 holes, Illinois was down 3 shots and 1-3. What happened? And I would want to give you a hole-by-hole, you know, play of
what
happened.
All right, so this is the 1-0 loss?
Yes, the 1-0 loss. You know, if you got a 1-0 loss, you had the bases loaded in the 8th and you didn't get a run across.
Yes, I was just more curious. They loaded them with 2 outs. There was 2 outs and nobody on. 2 base error. J.R. Nelson gets on. And then back-to-back hit by pitches. Okay. Change pitchers, strikeout.
Got it. I always wondered if there was the, like bases loaded in 1-0 game is the, if you get that guy at third, are you, you know, do you squeeze? Do you just go, you know, everybody gets concentrated on that, get the run across in a 1-0 game more than any other thing, instead of like, hey, swing away kind of thing. So that's why I'm always curious of what specifically happened in that inning.
All right. So shout out to Dylan Napoleon and the pitchers. Mm-hmm. Okay, so basketball. Men in Greenville, women in Nashville. Robert, you are actually not going to Greenville. Did you want to mention anything about
that? Yes, I'll just talk about it. I have a funeral to attend on Saturday. A friend of mine, a coworker from my former career, passed away. And so I'm going to go to his funeral on Saturday. And it's, I mean, I don't want to like make this about St. Louis, but like, when I heard the news and when I knew this, and I was still thinking that Illinois was going to be sent to St. Louis, and it would have been a game on Friday, and then I could have attended his funeral on Saturday and gone to the game on Sunday. But Purdue took that spot from Illinois, and they're in St. Louis, and Illinois is in Greenville. So Tyler's going to cover the game for the site, and I'm going to go honor my buddy and and go to his funeral. So yeah, it's probably good news for Illini fans. People may remember I was in Omaha 2 years ago, and I had a family issue come up. I don't need to go into the details on it. Everything worked out fine, and everything was great, but I needed to get to St. Louis. And so I left after the win over Morehead State. And so I wasn't there for the Duquesne game when Illinois made the Sweet 16. So let's just retrace this. Since Illinois has returned to the tournament in 2001, if Robert is at the round of 32 game, Illinois loses. And if Robert is not in the building, Illinois wins. So you can take that to mean pack your bags for Houston, because I'm not going to be in Greenville.
It's amazing the power you have.
It's amazing how that all these things just work out per that exact narrative in my head.
Before we go, one of the 10, you're one of the 17.
Mm-hmm. Which I should explain to people that don't know. One of the 17 Illini fans who cares more about football than basketball, and because of that, everybody thinks I hate basketball. That's what one of the 17 means. What's one of the 10 mean?
One of the 10, Illinois is one of the 10 schools that this year had a football team in a bowl game,
mm-hmm,
and a men's and women's basketball team in NCAA postseason play.
I think it wasn't that the last 2 years. Is that what the graphic? I saw the graphic last night, but then
each of the last
2 years. So for the last 2 years, bowl tourney, it's Illinois and 9 other schools.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty impressive.
So just remember, these are the days.
They really are. They absolutely are. It's so weird. Like in 2017, the thing I would have done to be a 3 seed, the stuff the bargaining I would have made to just be a 3 seed and want just to be ranked in one single.
Should
poll.
Your children be nervous?
They're all old enough that I can't give them away. But yes, the things I would have bargained to just be a 3 seed in one tournament, and now here I am, lost 5 of the last 10, blow a 23-point lead, a 15-point lead, a 12-point lead, and just think like, well, this is, we know what happens when this team is up, and just the fan vibes are down and everything else. And yet I would have done anything to have back-to-back bowl wins over SEC teams, a women's program completely rebuilt from 9-win seasons and 8-win seasons now to 3 tournaments in 4 years, and a men's basketball team 6 straight tournaments and another 3 seed.
And fortunately for you, you don't have to choose amongst the 3 this year. You get them all.
Yes, yes. For 2 years in a row, you get them all. It's these are the days.
All right. We'll leave it there and let you know we'll be back on our next episode. We're scheduled to record with Will Leach, maybe the other most popular Illini fan out there.
The single most popular Illini blogger on the planet. Thank you. And I'm number 7, but working my way up.
So
number 70.
Yeah, we will do that. As long as everything works technology-wise and schedule-wise. But in the meantime, thanks so much to our friends here at the Center for Innovation in Teaching and Learning. Our producer today is Sean Mills. For Robert Rosenthal, I'm Scott Beatty. We'll talk to you again next time, whatever the color is, with me.